Okay, we're live. Okay, today we're going to talk about after death. And I hope all y'all have got the CD from last week, which was The Destiny of the Lost. Yeah, week before last. Before we get into what happens to a person at death, I want to reacquaint you with the reason for human beings in the first place. You know, God made the angels, He made them perfect. But there became a need to have human beings. And that is, Satan rebelled and sinned against God, and he was the most perfect creature ever made. You've got to remember that. God made him absolutely, totally perfect, and yet iniquity was found in him. And he drew a third of the angels off into sin and rebellion against God. So God decided that he wanted to do something better. Hey, you know, God doesn't go backwards. He only goes forwards. And he decided to recreate himself. See, a lot of people teach that when you are saved, or when you get glorified, or we get caught up to go to the rescue, that you're going to be restored to Adam before the fall. That's not right. God is not trying to get you back to where Adam was. You should already be past that now if you possess the Holy Ghost. You should already be past where Adam was, because he didn't have that. He wasn't allowed to have it because he sinned, remember? So now, God is recreating himself. That is, he's going to take, we're talking about the Father, and we're talking about the Son. They are going to make lots of other, I'm going to call them beings because they're alive, they're being, just like themselves. And a lot of people overlook that. That is the power of the gospel that's overlooked. Most places teach a real weak thing of you're just getting saved and now you're going to be restored to Adam before the fall. God is trying to make a God being just like he is in you. But he can't put this power in a vessel that's going to turn on him the way Satan did. So he made you of mud on purpose so that you would be humbled and you would repent and you would come into submission to him, so that he could put that power in you and you won't turn on him later. Oh yeah, this is deep now. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. See, there's new stuff in the New Testament. You know, hey, I'm happy to teach the old stuff in the Old Testament, and that's good stuff. And it explains a lot of the foundation you need to understand what's in the new. But when you get to the new, baby, hey, it's a whole new ball game in here. We ain't talking about the same old stuff. There's a reason why you keep the Torah. The reason why you keep the Torah is because you want to be a child of the living God just like he is. And if you're not willing to obey his Torah, he ain't going to put that power in you. Ooh. Ooh, that is both the biggest carrot you'll ever have and the worst stick that will ever hit your backside. All in the same shot. John chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who received him, that's receiving Yeshua, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That didn't exist in the old covenant. He gave you the right to become the children of God. Wow, that's heavy now. That's heavy. Believe the words. He said if you believe, right? There it is. He said if you believe it, he's given you the right. If you don't believe it, then you don't have the right. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. Just talking about the Father now. Look, when you get in the New Testament, these guys are very specific in their wording. God always refers to the Father, who you hear me sometimes talking about as Yahweh El Shaddai. You know, Yahweh's the family name. Amen? In my family, Schultz is the family name. It's Bill Schultz and Lanise Schultz and Raina Schultz and Kyra Schultz. Whatever your family name is, that's your family name, and all of y'all have that family name. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is the family name, and El Shaddai is Father, and Yeshua, Yahweh, is the Son. Hey. So when you see God in your your English mistranslation, that always means the Father. When you see Lord, that always means Yeshua. Hey. They're very specific. They're specific for a reason, because this is supposed to work a certain way. But you have been given the right to be born of God. This is a very heavy statement. It's one of the most powerful statements in the Bible. Don't read over this. Don't metaphor it away. Oh, it's just a flowery language. We're all God's children. Hey, when you receive the Holy Spirit, then you're God's children. Until then, you're just a man born of mud. Amen? And we've all borne the image of the first Adam, the man of the earth, and the idea is to take on the Holy Spirit and be born of the man from heaven, who is the Son of the living God. And He's not called you to a second tier in this. He's called you to be like Jesus. And there's a lot of verses. John says that we will see Him as He is because we'll be just like Him. John said that has not yet been revealed because he hadn't been to the book of Revelation yet. Amen. He's still years away from that revelation. When he gets it, he says his eyes are flaming like fire. His face shines like the full sun. He's glorified. That's what God is wanting to do with you if we'll just accept Him at His word and believe what He says for us. You know, that right there will fix a lot of problems in your theology. If you can grab that right there, that you're going to be children, a child, a son, a daughter of the living God. You know, the reason why they use son is not because they're trying to be discriminating towards females. It's because there's no sex in the kingdom of God. You won't be male or female anymore. You'll just be like Him. And since He's referred to in the masculine, that's the way you'll be referred to in the masculine. You know, you were given sex for a reason while you live in a body of mud. You know what the primary reason for it is? Because when you have children as a result of that, you will understand how much God loves you, as was pointed out in the fellowship this morning, because you will love your children, and that will give you an example that you can get your mind around. Obviously, you won't know how much God really loves you because we don't have the capacity to love our children the way He loves us. But it'll be something you can get your mind around. The reason there's family in human beings is so that you can get your mind around some of these concepts. No, we won't grasp everything God has in there, but we can at least get our mind around when you look at your children, you know how much you love them. Amen? Or husband and wife, how much they love and how close in the relationship the way it's supposed to be. You can get your mind around what Yeshua wants with the bride. You see, you can get your mind around some of this stuff. You know, my children look like me. Or should I say look like their mother. I mean, they don't look like dogs. We didn't have little kitty cats. And I was quick into this. I'm not going to turn there. If you go back to Genesis in chapter 1, he says, "Let us make man after our image." You weren't made in the image of something else. You were made to look like Him. Amen? Because His children will look like Him. He made the dogs after the dog kind. He made the cattle after the cattle kind. He made the birds after the bird kind. You can look this up. We're not going to take the time to turn there. But He made you after the God kind, only He made you a model in mud. Until that time, you should receive the Holy Spirit. And there's a reason for that. We're going to get into it. But now, that begs a question. What is going to be the fate of mankind? Well, I tell you, for those people who are still walking in a body of mud that don't have the Holy Spirit, a different fate entirely from those who are born again in the Spirit of God. How can they have the same fate? See, we want to keep them alive, but the Bible over and over again says they are not immortal. Over and over again it says, you live in a mortal body and you will die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death, not life. And yet we want to make them alive and we want to torture them forever. Look, God does not want to torture anybody. And He's not so weak, the devil's going to get away with that. Amen? The devil is weak. Actually, when it says he's revealed, then we're going to look at him and go, that's the one that caused it. That little puny chameleon is the one that we looked at as that roaring dragon. What was up with our eyes? I mean, look at him. Just because he got a little funny bonnet on his head, that means a dragon. He's still a chameleon. And he can still be stomped on like a chameleon. He's nothing. He's nothing, man. And yet we want to give him power over the bulk of humanity to torture them in hell. Huh? Who's the one that says the devil's great? Wasn't it the liar, the snake? Isn't the snake the one that told us the devil was great? But wasn't the snake the one that told us we would live forever? Everybody's dead. I mean, nothing the snake has ever said that didn't turn out to be a lie. The snake said we will not surely die if we took that tree. And yet, do you know anybody that's still alive from 100 years ago? A few people from 100 years ago. I think the oldest woman now is 112 or 113 or something like that. They ain't very old. Think about it. I mean, you know, people in the Bible live almost 1,000 years old, you know, and we can't even get a good running start at 100. And hey, a lot of folks over 100 don't have their minds at 100. They don't have their minds, you know what I'm saying? So what good's be living that long if you ain't there to enjoy it, you know what I'm saying? And hey, the few that do have their minds are not enjoying it at all at that great age and kind of wish they'd eased on out of here when they had that first good chance way back when. So we can't believe the snake. God wants to make children who look like Him, who walk like Him, who talk like Him, who behave like Him. And you were made a model of the God kind in a body of mud so that you could learn how, so that you would realize you're going to die, and that would be the ultimate incentive to get right and take His Spirit. Because His Spirit is the tree of life. Amen? His Spirit is the tree of life. I know I talk about the Torah alluding to it, and the Torah is a pathway that you walk in. But let me tell you something. Without the Spirit of the living God, you can't really walk in that Torah. Hey, you have a hard enough time walking it after you get saved. Amen? Before you get saved, it's a lost cause. And it's not you. Well, it is you. You're made of mud. You were made by design to be a sinner. Did you realize that? You were made that you cannot win, so that you would